the most exciting thing you can start a show with.
Coming live from the 2SER studio.
This is a great show.
Across the park, 2SER.
And just go for a swim, but like deep.
Come on in, meatballs.
Testicles.
You're pointing at the door.
Got me more.
Previous.
You know, where is that? How good?
Which part of that was
confusing? I've got a real problem with that. Bloody. I can stand the prick.
Oh, bloody bird.
Let's not do this.
Oh, the corner injury. She got a corner injury.
Hello and welcome to Across the Park, a sports show on 2SER. Unless you've been living under a rock, I'm sure you've noticed there's actually been no news this week in the sporting world. None at all. But that won't stop us. We'll forge on and talk all things tennis, soccer, footy and cricket, including chatting with an actual grade cricketer, Rob Aitken, who will play his 473rd first grade game on Saturday, setting a new record. But before we do any of that, let me do some introductions. Hi, I'm Joel Kassam. Well, look, normally there would be two people joining me in the studio, but there isn't. So first up is a woman that needs no introduction.
It's Gabby Morris.
You can do your own.
Yeah. Finally, I get the introduction that I deserve.
You should introduce yourself. Maybe we can change the format of the introduction.
Yeah, and, I think so.
You guys.
I think. It would work better.
Say, I'm Gabby Morris and I'm Mick Rad, who isn't here.
Well, he's actually just gone missing.
We don't know where he is.
We don't know where he is. It's really weird. Like, he knows the schedule.
Yeah.
He hasn't showed up.
Mm-hmm.
No contact.
None.
And this has just given me more fuel for the fire.
Yes.
Is that right? The fuel for the fire?
Yeah, you can say that.
I've got a bit of a croaky voice. It's quite sexy. I'm not sick. I don't know what's going on, but I like it. Mick's not here. He hasn't showed up. He's failed to communicate to us. He's failed to report back to his managers. I've reported it to HR. So what's going to happen and what I've just thought of now is that finally it can be the two-man show that we've always wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Because now this is like the third strike, I think.
No, this is more than three.
Yeah, it's more than three.
This is up.
So what that means is that we get a better cut. We get the praise that we deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't need to be in this bloody room anymore.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It is exciting.
I just think that he's a dead weight.
I love that we can just say this stuff when he's not here.
Yeah. We don't need him.
No, we don't.
Anyway, it's all about me and you.
It is about us.
How's your sporting week been?
Yeah, I didn't really do much sporting. I'm trying to think. No, I don't think I've done anything. Broke a thong on Sunday.
Oh, brutal.
That was never
do you
fun.
Know how to fix that?
No.
You get a bread clip.
Yeah, but I was out, so...
You go to a baker. You just literally knock
broken
on...
a thong. So you knock on the door. I mean, it was late in the afternoon, so they're all closed.
You just knock on anyone's house, because they just get thrown out anyway.
Of course.
And you go, hey, can I have your bread clip? You clip it on, boom.
You know what they're good for?
What?
Apart from fixing
putting them
your
under
thong.
Your nose, pretending like they're a nose ring.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that, obviously. I didn't have to say that. But if you have, like me, you got 1,000 electrical wires running through behind, like, a computer or a TV or whatever.
Yeah.
You put them on, so you clip them on and write on what it is, like TV or stereo.
Oh.
Or, and then you know.
Wow.
And there you go.
Fantastic.
See, Mick wouldn't be able to bring Mick this sort of
Mick doesn't know anything, so that's why this is so good.
Yeah.
We get to share our knowledge, mostly... Not about sport, but that's fine.
Doesn't matter.
We're teaching things
exactly.
to people.
Exactly.
So that's great. Cool.
So yeah, broke a thong. That's what I did.
Broke a thong. That's fine.
What about you?
Thongs, I don't know why you wear, thongs are so uncomfortable to me.
Really?
Yep. I haven't worn a thong since 1992.
1992?
Yep.
Okay.
They're just not,
you remember?
They're just not that. And then they're really noisy. They're quite obnoxious.
They're obnoxious?
They are obnoxious. The sound that they make. And then you get that, like, you almost get, like, a bit of a, like, a rash in between your big toe and, like...
You got to wear them in.
Yeah. And then they just, like, yeah, then they wear in at the heel and they just look festy.
Yeah. Do you wear sandals?
Yeah.
Oh.
But I don't wear thongs.
Okay.
So, they're not hot, Joel, either.
I didn't say they were. I'm not wearing my thongs to pick up.
Good.
That's why I did this
Good.
Show. how was your sporting week?
I just accidentally licked the microphone. That was really gross. It was... I did yoga yesterday.
Mm.
It was so good. The guy was fantastic at the meditation. There was only four of us in the class. I was doing it with my colleague. And during the meditation, she fell asleep. And he was like, okay, wiggle your toes and I'll come up to the seated position. And she was like, like yeah. out cold. And yeah. we're all sitting there and I'm just crying with laughter. And even the yoga instructor was like kind of giggling. And so he was like, thank you for today. Like, namaste. And then she was like, I fell asleep. Namaste. And like kind of like jolted up really quickly. And she was bleary eyed and so confused. Oh, it made it. Totally worth it.
Yeah.
I'm sore. Yoga's hard.
Yeah. I've done yoga a few times.
It's good though.
I don't know if I should. Should I admit that on radio?
What?
That I've done yoga?
Why?
Yeah, it doesn't matter, does it?
Why?
I've done yoga.
Yeah. Doesn't yoga's matter. Great. It's fantastic.
I did it for a girl.
Oh.
Yeah. In my back.
What?
In my back. My back too was sore. So I needed to do some stretching.
Yeah. I actually feel like that it made my back more sore. I think that just shows that I'm weak, but be careful with yoga. I actually have a lot of friends that have hurt themselves doing yoga. Just don't push yourself that too hard, you know?
Yeah.
It's still a difficult sport.
Take your time.
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
No, that... Nope.
No, nothing? All right. I just... Every time I talk about yoga, I think of yoga. Did you ever eat yoga as a kid?
Is that like your cult?
No, it's sort of like...
Remember your cult?
I think that's still around, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just like literally pure sugar.
Is it?
Yeah, your cult was just like full of sugar.
What's the one that clears you out? What am I thinking of? It's like a little...
Are you thinking of like a brand? like some oil brand? Some fiber?
No. It's like a little drink.
Yeah. Your cult's a little drink.
I thought that's what it did.
It's like it's got probiotics in it. That's but it's one. Just like full of sugar. So okay. It's like, just don't really...
But yoga yeah. was like... I'm
the one
sure
that you flip?
Route.
Like it had the...
I think they did have a brand like that. Like you could do that sort of thing as well. Put it into... It's like a chocolate yogurt,
Yeah.
Again, pure sugar, I'm sure.
Look, what? We're not bagging out sugar, but...
No.
Well,
anyway, this is a sports show.
This is good.
We should do an interview because...
We should. We never have talent.
We never have talent. We never have content.
Mick won't let us have talent.
Exactly.
He wants to be the talent every fucking week.
Exactly. That's exactly what's happened. He's not here and we're allowed to be what we want to be.
Yeah.
And that's a show that has guests on.
Like a sexy, hot, funny, talented sporting people.
Yes.
Thank God.
And that's what we're going to do. So, joining us on the phone right now is a man who is about to set a new Sydney grade cricket record by playing his 473rd game on Saturday, which is tomorrow. It's the North Sydney Bears, Rob Aitken. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Joel. Hi, Gabby.
Hello.
How you going, mate?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
A little bit excited about tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. It's sort of dawned on me over the last week or so that what a big thing it actually is.
You're going to have to explain to me what's so big about this. What is grade cricket? What does this figure mean? How many hours is that? Talk me through what did it mean to be not a cricket person?
Well, to be short, it's a lot of years of going to cricket training and turning up to cricket games, I suppose. But then again, it's turning up and doing one of the things you love doing. So I feel as I've been very fortunate to be able to do that.
Are you 81?
Yeah, I feel like it's some days after you've been in the field for like 96 overs or so. But yeah, no, not quite.
When did you start playing?
Playing first grade or playing cricket generally?
Just in general.
Oh. Actually, it's a while ago. I probably can remember when I started playing first grade. It was like 1992. But I think I was about 17 then, so you'd probably have to do a bit of maths to sort of work your way back.
I was trying to do it, but I've given up. A long time, though.
Yeah, no, a fair while now.
Did you start playing in high school?
I think I was probably in the beginning of year 12, maybe the end of year 11 or something like that, when I sort of ended up getting my first call up from second grade to first.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was a good excuse not to study at the time to get the training and whatnot. it seems like a really long time ago, actually.
Yeah,
now that you mention it. But.
Did you have you like played every summer? Has it always been there, or did you ever have a few summers off?
Yeah, no, I played pretty consistently. Obviously, you know, when you play for an length of time, you kind of have your injuries and all that kind of stuff. So I've had a number of years where I've played a few games. I've missed the majority of the season and so forth, just trying to rehab from injuries and things. But most every season I've actually played some games, but some I suppose more full than others this season.
Yeah.
So on the phone we've got Rob Aitken, who's you're beating a record, right? Is this a new record?
I think I tied the number of games played in the first grade competition with an excellent player called Ken Hall, who I actually played against as a probably legendary Bankstown player from many years ago. But this weekend I've sort of just passed his tally.
Wow! And has this been a goal of yours your whole life?
Not really, actually. I only probably started thinking about it last season. Some of the guys in my club was sort of mentioned it to me. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, that's a possibility. So, yeah, it's an incentive to try to stay on the field and avoid injuries so I can get through the season.
I feel like it might be in the blood as well, because you mentioned Ken Hall, who you're taking the record off. Who did he take the record off before that?
Well, that's another thing I found out just this week. Apparently, I think he took it off my dad.
No way!
Yeah, I know. It's actually quite remarkable. I don't think anybody in my family actually knew that. Until it came up this week. It's a little bit circular there and very, very, very neat symmetry, but yeah.
So do you get like a reminder email going, hey mate, you are up to your, 400 and something something? Like, who's keeping track?
Well, I know the Cricket Association does that, but Toddy, one of the champions from our North Sydney Cricket Club, seems to get to the statisticians quite regularly, and he's in there constantly updating us on how many games we've played and what our next milestone is. So that's quite a handy man to have in a cricket club.
How are the Bears faring this year?
This season across the grades, we're doing pretty well. I think we're pretty well placed in the club championship. So we've got some particularly strong performances and semi-final contenders in first grade, second grade and fifth grade looking very good. I think they're actually leading the competition fifth grade. So
that's good.
Yeah, we're well placed in a number of grades actually. So we're pretty strong across the grades.
So there's no chances of any controversy tomorrow. Like, someone's not going to stand up going, I've actually played 500 games. Like,
well, it may happen.
Oh, juicy.
It may happen. Statistics can be a bit like that sometimes. But, they sometimes find games and runs and whatnot. They sometimes count matches that haven't been counted in previous years and so forth. So it worked in my favour a few years ago. I think they counted a few one-day games or something they hadn't counted before. So I think that's added, and I think they now count the 2020 matches. So that's really sort of sped up the number of matches I've played recently too.
I read that you've scored over 11,000 runs, and you're just shy of 600 wickets.
I don't even know. What does that mean? Is that...
Well, I actually just got my 600th wicket.
You got it?
Last weekend, yeah. It was actually a funny story, actually. I wanted to, obviously, you want to get to your milestones and so forth, but it just happened to be last Saturday. Like, my father, he was, he's probably one of the sort of, I suppose, highest wicket takers sort of there ever has been in sort of grade competition as well. He played for many years for Cumberland, which is now Parramatta. But, he's sort of taken many wickets, but on the same day, which is the anniversary of his birthday, I actually got that 600th wicket. So that was another sort of
wow.
Very neat tie-in and symmetry there, which is sort of, think to yourself, a little bit odd, and is that supposed to happen that way, or is it just coincidence? But, I wonder if he's sort of having a look down and saying, yeah, good on you, mate. But,
that's so nice.
Yeah, that's
story.
Fantastic. That is really great. So, 600 wickets, what are you bowling?
Oh, just a little bit of this and all that, maybe finger spinners. So just trying to sort of be a little bit tricky if I can, and hopefully make the batsman make a bit of a mistake and hit a fielder or hit a pad. But, just wandering in and just bowling those little finger spinners.
Wandering in.
Look, I play grade cricket myself, but I'm talking the level where you actually just name your own team. We're not part of anywhere. We just sort of, you make your own team up and you make your own team name. Any advice for me going into tomorrow's game?
Wait, you're playing tomorrow?
I'm playing tomorrow. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the only thing I'd suggest, Joel, is keep enjoy what you do, mate. That's the reason why all of us really should be playing. If you sort of keep that in the front of your mind, enjoy what you're doing. And, no matter how hot it gets tomorrow, it's supposed to be like 40-odd degrees. Yes.
That's just like, it's just my worst nightmare.
Yeah, you do sometimes question it when it's sort of 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's pushing 45 degrees, and they've got two wickets taken, and you've still got...
Surely people are just dropping like flies. Like, you're just watching your teammates just collapse across the field.
Well, I think that's why people sometimes play cricket. They like to challenge themselves. I'm sure that's why people continue playing golf and all those other kind of frustrating games.
Frustrating is a good word.
It can be.
What's your next goal then? So tomorrow's your three?
Three, I think.
Yeah, so are you want to continue on this path, or do you have any other goals in grade cricket that you want to achieve?
Well, not really. My main focus is winning cricket games. I would really like to actually get into another first grade final. So we've North Sydney, we've won a first grade one day competition, but we've never actually won a sort of the 2 day competition before. I've been in a final once. It was actually my first year of playing for North Sydney back in 2001. So it's taken a little while. I thought we were going to get there last year into the final, but sort of rain got in the way. So we weren't able to take those last couple of wickets we needed to sort of get ourselves a spot in the final. This year it'd be good to continue to push forward and sort of have that final berth and hopefully win a competition. That's what we're all after.
So no nudie runs as a sneaky...
No. I've seen a few of those before, and they generally don't end very well. It usually end with somebody's clothes being taken as they slide out the pitch. Yeah, they end up chasing those clothes around afterwards. Not a good idea. That's the benefit of experience. You've sort of seen what other people have done in the past. You don't want to try to repeat their mistakes.
No matter what the results are, is there going to be a bit of celebrating going on?
I'm assuming so. I don't really know what's planned. I'm sure trying to focus very much on the game. I've tried to do that this week because there's sort of been a few little interruptions here and there, but very much is just focusing on the game and any of the other things that kind of happen will sort of happen after the game's over, I'm sure.
All right, cool. Rob, all the best for tomorrow.
Yes, good luck.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Joel and Gabby.
No worries. And Mick, but he's not here.
In Nick, he's absent.
Yes, thank you very much, Rob, and congratulations on your big record in grade cricket for playing the most games, 473, huge.
Amazing.
Smash it out the park? Is that what they say in cricket?
You can say that. Yeah. Okay. Gab doesn't know cricket very well, if you didn't know.
Get a home run? Just joking.
Thank you very much. All the best, and good luck for your game tomorrow, Joel.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks,
Cheers,
Rob.
Thank you, mate.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye.
There you go, Rob Aiken there, 473 grade cricket games. And just as we finish talking to Rob, someone has dragged themselves into the studio.
Interesting. I couldn't believe
him.
It. No, it's what a shock and a surprise that you failed to communicate with us your whereabouts. We have been so worried.
Have you?
We've been planning our revolution, really.
Is that guest still around?
Pretty much, hey.
Is our guest still on the phone?
No, we literally just said goodbye. We wished him all the best and had to say goodbye.
Well.
Rob Aiken, 473 grade cricket games tomorrow.
How great.
He's played 473. He wasn't anywhere near as tired as you are right now.
I'm sorry, guys.
I guess my plan failed.
Yeah.
It's not just going to be you and me for life.
What?
Mix here.
I'm sorry. Oh, it's so hot out there.
It is warm.
It is warm. It is a warm...
What did I miss?
Well, let's see. We'll recap part of the show so far.
No.
You'll have to listen.
Okay. You'll have to listen, okay, Mick. You'll hear it and you'll
listen back on the podcast, which you can go on Spotify or iTunes.
It's or anywhere you get your podcast from. You're making me tired.
Yeah, stop heavy breathing into the microphone. We're already trying to retain listeners and you ruin it.
Do we need
That'll
ask
help
if you're okay?
Bring listeners. I'm okay. I'm fine. Thank you.
All right.
How are you?
I'm good. We've done this bit.
We've covered that? Oh, yeah. Sorry.
We're going to move on to some sport. Oh. We just spoke cricket, so we might even continue cricket just for a little bit. Gab's on her phone, so it's not a problem. where's my little sports thing? See, I moved all my stings around waiting for you, and now I don't know where any of them are.
Sport!
In BBL. There are now four teams remaining in the BBL after the home and away season came to an end.
Home and away. Controversy on that show actually this week.
Oh, you watched
was
it?
Was there?
Yeah, no.
Isn't that there's still no Tessa?
Oh, Tessa. We're missing her. No, I'm going to run you through the controversy because there's a lesbian couple on Home and Away, which is revolutionary because Home and Away is not very good at depicting gay couples, which is absolutely atrocious and devastating. It's 2020, get with the times. So the Australian cut out the girls kissing the couple, the lesbian couple that are together, in a scene. But in New Zealand, they left that scene in, that where they kiss goodbye. Fans are livid. I just licked the fucking microphone.
Are you a fan, Gabby?
No, but I'm a fan of LGBTQI plus vision.
So not just fans are livid. Fans and not fans were livid.
Yes, it's awful. Their comment was, oh, there's sometimes an edit that happens. It's a human error. Bullshit.
Oh, hang on. Why are they not? Surely they just send over the exact same copy.
No, actually, they don't. We can now see that Australian content is being
different lengths, ads, things like that.
I understand that, but surely you sort of have like a rough idea of what the ads are going to be and how long they're going to last.
It's a total joke and it's a sham. And I think that
let's all boycott Home and Away.
Yeah, what a great idea!
I've been doing it for such a long time now.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I was preempted.
Why
did
we talk about Home and Away?
Why did we? Oh, because I mentioned the Home and Away season for the BBL was over,
and she was just trying to avoid talking about cricket.
Don't drag it on because it's going to happen. Okay. Anyway, so the first team was eliminated last night, so that we had the first finals.
Yes.
This new final system, there's five teams.
Oh, they're knockout. It's a knockout. That's the name of the game.
This is why I don't want him back.
But hang on, It's a Knockout was a great program. Did you ever watch It's a Knockout?
No.
No, she's too young for it.
I guess you are.
I'm a baby.
But you know, I don't know, like, when was it on? It was a great show anyway, doesn't matter. It was like
late 80s.
It was like New South Wales versus Queensland versus Victoria versus.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was like a game show on in the really early in the morning on a weekend. Oh. It's a knockout, right? It was hosted by what's the guy's name and the girl's name? I can't remember.
It was a guy.
Guys,
Ricky.
This is so boring.
No, but people who It's a Knockout will love this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ricky, someone.
Was it? And he'd always be like,
Ricky,
he's fallen over. It was a great show. It was a really great show.
Sounds like you're an Australian.
People competing, like
being an American, being an Australian.
Thank you.
In that was good.
Silly little events, and like it was always held. I think it was shot in Melbourne, so like they'd have crowds for each state.
It was in Sydney.
Was it in Sydney?
Down the road from where I lived as a kid.
Okay, well there you go. So they'd have like crowds for each state, but they weren't flying people in. Like so, New South Wales people would just be sitting in all the crowds cheering for like Victoria. Yeah, great show. Anyway, BBL. We'll get there eventually.
I don't even know what BBL is.
It's the Big Bash League.
Every time you say BBL, I think of BB cream, which is like this nice cream that you put on your face.
Not BB King.
He's distracting you away from cricket again.
The BB King, the blues singer.
Oh, yeah, BB King.
Anyway.
BB.
The show's almost over. Sydney Thunder beat the Hurricanes last night, so Hurricanes have been eliminated.
And okay. Thunder kick on.
Speaking of Hurricanes.
Oh, no, stop it.
Speaking of Thunder,
there is a really big storm coming.
Yeah. I hope so. No, not till like Sunday or something, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll move on. Doesn't matter. There's a game tonight. No, I won't. There's a game tonight. Who's plays tonight? Stars and Sixers. So they were first and second. They play each other. The winner goes on to the grand final. Loser plays
Thunder
like, or Adelaide Strikers, who play tomorrow.
Yes. When you think about it, like how many people, like you look at the Australian population, how many people are watching this?
I don't know the ratings.
Like, maybe a couple of thousand.
They get a which fairly means, good crowd. It's getting worse year by year. But the event, there's a lot of people. It's quite surprising.
Yeah.
For a
let's devote a whole episode to talking about why the BBL is losing
crowds. I reckon 0.5 people who are listening right now give a shit.
All right, I'll move on to Under-19s Cricket World Cup.
What?
So, I'm going to tell you a story. So, it's being played over in South Africa. But for Aussie Jake Fraser-McGurk, great name.
That is a good name.
It is a great name. It's all come to an end because he's had to fly home due to an injury. Not a cricket injury. He was scratched in the face by a monkey.
That's awful.
At like a nature reserve
or
something.
That's scary.
Is he okay?
I think he's okay, yeah. He was able to fly home.
I'm trying to think
of a pun. Think of a pun.
Poor kid.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yes.
That would really suck. But Australia doing quite well, I believe, over there. Under 19s. In soccer, the Oli Roos have reached the Tokyo 2020 Olympics, courtesy of a 1-0 win over Uzbekistan.
Good to hear.
So that's great. We haven't been in the Olympics for 12 years.
Is it that long?
Yeah. Or the men's anyway.
Whoa. So but wait, aren't we hosting the soccer Olympics?
No. So the Matildas,
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, no. so the Olympics are this big thing that's every 4 years.
In one city, not many.
Yeah, all over the world.
That's actually a good idea. So,
well, the qualifiers for the women's soccer tournament, there's four teams competing.
I don't know, actually.
There's not that many. It was supposed to be held in Wuhan.
Yeah. I know. That's so strange.
What are the chances of having a tournament?
And the team from Wuhan are flying over, but they're being quarantined.
Yeah.
And it's past the date of the game.
So I think they're here now, aren't they? No, they're here now. And I think the game is next week.
No, but, well, they've... Well,
oh,
they're
so, yeah, I
the
see
game
what you're saying.
Is, so the quarantine goes over the 2 days.
Yeah.
So they, I don't think they're going to be able to play.
Can they, they'll just play in the hotel. Just play in their
room.
Just
play FIFA.
I'll play FIFA. That would be great.
But does that just automatically mean... I don't know, what are you doing? That's surely just push the game.
Surely. It can't be that. Like, Tokyo's still a while away.
We've half a year. It's like July or something.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a doubleheader out of Western Sydney. You know, with Taiwan and China. Australia taking on Taiwan, China playing Thailand out of Campbelltown.
When?
Some week?
Next week. I'm sure it was next week.
Week after next. If it's week after next,
then they've passed their quarantine. It's probably fine.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool. Anything else? Oh, we didn't talk tennis. God.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the biggest thing at the moment.
We're so close. Oh, poor Ash.
I know. It sucks. It's basically over for us now. No Ash Barty. No.
Dylan Alcott.
No.
Nick Kyrgios.
Oh, he's already won.
Has he?
Did he win?
I don't know.
The singles? He won the doubles. I wasn't sure if he won the singles
yet. I feel like this show shouldn't be us asking each other questions about what's going on in
shouldn't,
sport.
But it is.
Because it's then... What's the point?
It's people yelling at their radio going, no, it is.
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
This is a fucking shit sports show.
Yeah, so anyway, it sucks that Ash Barty went out yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, but she's a legend.
She's
worked hard.
Oh,
she's
absolutely
great.
Like, it sucks for us as fans of watching her play.
Totally.
But
heartbreaking.
For her, I'm sure she's okay. And yeah, Nick Kyrgios also went down to Rafael Nadal.
But he married like 20 grand or something in aces.
And it was a hell of a game.
It was really fun, so that's cool.
Kyrgios has converted like a tiny percentage of people that hated him.
Yep.
Into maybe thinking he's okay.
I think I've turned.
You've turned.
I
didn't know you were a hater.
I wasn't a hater. I just wasn't overly impressed by his antics. But he played really well.
He says he's a changed man, and also he's actually a baby. So I feel like I'll give him a shot. And his whole ace thing really inspired me.
And the thing is, he is incredible at aces. That's his thing.
He's only 23.
And shots between his legs, he's good at those too.
Yeah, yes. I love them.
So cool, so cocky. I don't know, I think he's changed. I like it. I'm all for it.
Yep.
And can I just, I noticed this as well. I've watched a lot of tennis recently. Everyone sort of wears a hat or a bandana or something. Nick Kyrgios, no hat, nothing. He's got the like hair going on, but...
Oh, he's got the blonde.
Yeah, he's got that, but he doesn't wear like everyone else has sort of got like.
He's trying to keep his highlights.
He probably should wear a hat. It's sunny out there.
It is sunny.
It's weird that don't you think that we haven't created like sunglasses that you can wear during sport? Mm. We don't have them.
Goggles?
Yeah.
Yeah, no one wears sunglasses
because
playing tennis.
Playing tennis, especially, it's a hell of a sunny, glary game.
But contacts, right? Surely.
Well, they have UV protection, but it's not like a.
Oh, you're talking sunnies.
Sunnies.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant. Glasses.
No, sunnies.
Dylan Alcott wears sunnies when he plays.
Oh, I don't see any other tennis player wearing sunnies, though.
Yeah, you don't.
It would be hard, though. They do a lot of moving.
But that's why I'm saying that like, you need like some kind of goggly thing.
Yeah.
Or, because you get contacts that are like a sunny.
Yes, I agree.
I think I got a new business here. Copyright.
Copyright.
Shotgun.
Shotgun. I'm pretty sure that's what they say. Shotgun.
Does that work?
So. Yeah.
All right,
I don't hold up in court.
1.5 minutes left of this episode. Should we do a game?
Yep.
Feels like it hardly went really fast.
Was it quick for you, mate?
Yeah.
Hi, Mick.
Oh, hi. Is that the name of the game?
Yes.
What were you going to do if I didn't turn up for the game?
We would have been actually fine. Thank you very
much. I didn't think about that.
Wait, you've got a minute to go. Better start.
Okay. Which golfing term means 3 under par?
Albatross.
I don't even know what that question meant.
So
don't worry. Don't bother.
No?
Nah. Move on.
Happy to. Okay. God damn it. Mick's going to get this one.
I think I was going to do the game.
Do the next one then, quickly.
When do the Olympics start this year?
Oh, like date?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know exactly.
You were right with the month.
It's like 6th of July.
Oh, I was going to say July. 7th.
Yeah, it's July.
7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 12th. Ah!
The 24th of July.
Oh, it's way late. Oh, I'll be at my birthday during the Olympics. That's nice. I used to be like that when I was a kid. I used to enjoy that.
And then what, you had a different birthday?
No, the Olympics is not.
Guys, I'm really
on the same
paranoid
day.
About licking the microphone.
Stop doing it.
I didn't mean
so gross.
To.
So many people have breathed
That's
that.
What I mean. Now I'm really anxious.
Oh, now she's going to be sick.
Hey, good luck to Rob Aiken tomorrow.
Yes.
On your Rob. I didn't
well,
meet you.
What's he done, Joel? People don't know.
473 first grade games.
In?
Cricket. We're done. We got it. Zap!
Open your purr.
Let's go!
You're listening to It's a Gay Area with Ruby and Patrick. Buckle up, bitch.
We got a big-ass show. I had a chat with Jono, one half of Wollongong band Cry Club, earlier this week about Cry Club, about the future of Cry Club. I'm going to play that interview for you now. Thank you so much for joining us, Jono.
Hi.
Now, first things first, how exactly did you and Heather first get into making music together as Cry Club?
Well, we met like quite a while ago. And I always was super aware of their, like, quite amazing ability to sing. And I was playing in bands at the time, and I was playing guitar for, like, a pop act that was, like, traveling around and stuff. And then when that wrapped up, I was like, I want to start another pop thing. Or, like, another, like, post-punk thing maybe, because I played in a post-punk band when I was a teenager. Like, oh, maybe that. And then I had all these demos, and I sent them to Heather, and then they completely dodged them.
Yeah, no!
Like, they're like, I don't know how to do this. And it's like, and then it was like another year. And then I was like, I had all this. I was like, I had a little bit more of a firm idea of what I really wanted to do. And then I was like, okay, you're going to come over to my house this time.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, their girlfriend at the time thought it was like, I don't know, it was like a weird thing. And they like she came along as well. And like we were writing a song, and she was like in the corner playing Pokemon, which was great. But yeah, we had that like first day writing together, and I was like, oh, this is a thing. Let's just focus on this. So
yeah,
and we just kind of put everything we could into writing, and then about 3 or 4 months later, we played our first show, and then we kind of kicked off at what turned into a very busy year. We played 42-something shows
oh
in the first
God.
Year. Yeah.
In the first year as well.
Yeah, we kind of hit the ground running.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you know, get it done.
Yeah, right? That's it. Like, if I'm not here to fuss around.
Exactly. I mean, you can say you're not here to fuck spiders.
I was like trying
okay,
to not
cut.
Say it. Okay. You could see fuck spiders go across
like,
my eyes.
Like those fucking like cool like futuristic shades of like words on them.
Yeah, you saw that go past.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just that immediate thing of like we wrote our first song together, and I was like, okay, cool. Like, we're locking this down and yeah. we're focusing on this.
Amazing. So how exactly would you describe kind of the general creative process of you two?
I'm one of those people, like, I have that, like, beautiful combination of, like, my worst character traits are impatience and, like, overambition.
Yeah.
So I spend a lot of time working on stuff because I'm just like, well, I want to make it happen. So I spend a lot of time like writing the instrumentals for the songs because I come from playing in like such a like a I used to play in like a mathcore band, like Dillinger Escape Plan kind of vibe.
Cool.
I used to I was like the touring guitarist with Beck Sandridge for a while.
Oh wow.
And I played in like a 12-piece gospel band. Like
you got all the genres down pat.
Yeah, I was like really obsessed for a while in being like a really like quality like session yeah. musician who yeah. could like read music, sight read, play a bunch of instruments, all that sort of stuff. I was really obsessed with
I
that for a while.
I watched a documentary on those session musicians and yeah. they're incredible.
Yeah, like there's just something really fantastic about people who have skilled up to the point where they can just like punch it out.
Yeah.
But now I'm in the spot where I'm like, okay, my own creative practice. So it's like I spend a lot of time like trying out different genre stuff, and then Heather and I sit in a room together and just go like, all right, let's figure out what the vocal is. Because yeah. I'm, especially when I'm in a room next to Heather, I am not a good singer. It's like they could make anyone look bad. So it's like I was born deaf. Like, my ability to pitch stuff isn't great. Like,
you were born deaf.
Like, I was this is like life story stuff, but like I was born in
I was
born in the car on the way to the hospital. My dad was like, "It's not happening," and Mum was like, "It's happening," and and he was like, "It's not." And then he went to the hospital that was further away because there was totally more time.
Oh my god!
And then like I was born like literally 5 minutes away from the hospital.
Wow!
But because of that, I got like this ear infection that me as like a X amount of months old child wasn't able to communicate. Mother, father, I think I have an ear infection. Please take me to the doctor. It was more just like,
owie, owie, me eerie.
It was more just me screaming.
So
all the photos of me as a child, it was like me wearing like a pink bike helmet because I used to like hit my head against the wall because it would distract me from the pain. Like, here's my like dark backstory. But all that, like, because I wasn't able to hear properly, I think my ability to hear pitch and all that sort of stuff kind of got affected.
Yeah.
Which is why a lot of the Cry Club stuff is, like, super fucked, like, harmonically. Like, if you pull your, like, theory hands out, you go, like, oh, Robert Smith is completely atonal. I think a big part of my, like, developing my ear came through, like, and this is gets into the nerdy stuff, but, like, the, like, impressionistic composer-y stuff. Like, I did like a degree at uni, like a music degree and an audio engineering degree. And that kind of like keys don't matter. It's all fake.
It's not real.
It's not real. It's a very like nihilistic approach to harmony. But it's just like that thing of like, I just follow my ear and my ear's kind of dumb. So it takes me to interesting places.
But I mean, like, that's kind of amazing. Like not to furiously toot your horn, but like being essentially being born deaf and then. Looking at you now, like you've got so much music experience and you're in, and once again, not to toot the horn, you're in probably one of the biggest up-and-coming bands in Australia.
Yeah.
What a story. Come on.
It's pretty good. There's a bunch of, like, I feel like, because I've been playing in bands for, like, 10 years or something, and I feel like a lot of the parts of Cry Club are just like interesting little tidbits. Like, I've been playing in bands for 10 years. This is Heather's first band.
Really? Oh my gosh.
Because they did all this like when they were in high school, they did all those like talent development, like all those like try and make someone like a pop star kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
And
very different paths.
As they described it, they got kicked out because they got too fat and got a fringe. As they describe it, because they were the kid that was like, I want to sing My Chemical Romance. And
then everyone's
just like, can you just like sing this like miscellaneous pop song of the day?
And they were like, no.
And they were like told like, you're not clever enough to write songs, all that sort of stuff. All this kind of intense stuff. And then it was just like when we started working together, it was like, oh, no, you can do it. Like,
You're good.
It's fine.
Oh,
like,
my God.
So, yeah, we've got all these, like, we met on a plane. Like, we didn't actually meet on Earth first. We met on a plane.
You meant off Earth first.
Yeah. Like, we met on a plane to Japan, like this uni trip that we did together. We were sitting next to each other on the plane, and that's how we met.
I think that's a really good opening line for any future bio of Cry Club.
Oh, totally.
Cry Club did not meet on this earth.
Next single, the PR for that.
We are aliens.
We are aliens. I feel like Heather would love that.
Your debut single,
yes.
Walk Away. Such a powerful track that kind of really delved deep into, I guess, a feeling of anguish that many queer people face in their day-to-day life, but, you know, especially during the marriage plebiscite.
Yes.
So how do you think identity has kind of influenced how you guys create music?
Well, I think for us, in that kind of early stage of writing, when we were, like, before we were playing shows and all that sort of stuff, and we, like, had this is, like, the example of it, like, we would have like we'd write a song and then we'd have to like come up with like a working title. And there was like the series that was Angry Gay and Mad 1, Angry Gay and Mad 2, Angry Gay and Mad 3. So it was like a big part of it is like there's this weird little thing that happens with us where because we write lyrics and like all the vocal stuff is written together completely.
Yeah.
So it's like shared lyrics and all that sort of stuff. So it's like a shared autobiography that we have. Where it's like there was that day, for example, with Walk Away, where there was like this sky riding.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I was working in a studio, and like in a studio, you don't see the outside world. You
no
think,
windows.
No windows or anything. And then I walked outside, and it was like a day or two after the first bit of sky riding, and I saw a sky rider start again. And I was just like, oh, fuck this. Stop. Like, just stop. So, and like, it was obviously, there was just a bunch of things as well. Like, Heather's car, like, they had like a rainbow flag sticker on it. At one point, it got egged. Oh, like, there was all this really intense stuff that was going on. And it was just like, this just sucks. Like, do we have to go through this? So it was like, it was just one of those, like, a deeply challenging times kind of for everyone.
Absolutely.
So it was, yeah, it's one of those ones where I'm like, now with a bit of distance, I can go like, okay, we got there.
Well, that's exactly like, it's like, I mean, so many people, especially like straight people, are kind of like, well, you guys won, so aren't you happy? And it's like, did you see what we had to go through?
Yeah, did you see? Like just even my friends. Like, I had a friend, like, I live a life, I've realized recently, I live a life surrounded by lesbians.
Valid, yeah, very valid.
All of my big, like, musical moments happened because of lesbians.
That's a perfect quote.
Like, honestly, I realized it, like, a little while ago. I was like, oh, god damn it. How did this happen? Like, a friend of mine in Wollongong, she was like, even the people that are supportive kind of take a weird tone where it's like, I just want to walk my dog down the street with me missus and not have someone be like, oh, I voted yes. Can I pat your dog? It's like, can you leave me alone? But just like
pat my dog if you didn't open.
It would have been fine. But like but I just love that. Like, I just want to walk down the street with me dog and me missus. And,
oh,
yeah, just,
God.
I don't know.
It's good.
Yeah.
But it's bad, but like lines like that, me dog and me missus.
Yeah.
it's very good.
Well, it's a bummer seeing the pain that leads to normalcy.
Yeah,
with this
absolutely.
Stuff. Like the amount of effort and strain that goes into this is normal now.
Yeah.
You know? So that song for us was always like, when we were picking like, what song to put out first, it was like that one was just like, we kind of should do that one because we really like it as a song, but also like it just says so much about who we want to express ourselves, because like our identity as a band, like as people, informs so much about the music we make.
Absolutely. And it's such a powerful song.
Oh, thank you.
Like it really is. I mean, like, personally, I think all of your songs are incredibly powerful.
Thank you so much.
Now, so, I mean, like, with your most recent single, Robert Smith,
yeah.
It's fantastic. And I know that you two love The Cure. So, I guess, what was it exactly about, I guess, Robert Smith himself that inspired this, like, I guess, ode to his personal aura?
Well, for us, we were, when we first had, like, the instruments of the song, we were like, oh my god, this sounds like Rage Against the Machine. Whoa, we should write a super political song. And then we spent like half a day writing the super political song. And it sucked. It was really bad. And we were like, maybe we should just like, I don't know, let's just be dumb. Let's just be dumb with it. And we just have fun with it. And and then we just started talking about how, like, there was the beef between Robert Smith and Morrissey.
Oh, my God. Literally, that was, like, one of my like, bonus questions. Like, what's the deal with Morrissey?
Yeah. That's, like, the whole thing of the song was, like, about, like, who, like, if, like, there's you got those heroes that you see. And it's, like, something we're engaging with a lot in Australia at the moment, with seeing these acts who a lot of people are like, oh, my God, they're my hero. And then, like, 6 months later, it turns out they're a piece of shit.
A horrible person.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's just like
okay.
There's just something really upsetting about like it's
in terms of like alternative music, Morrissey's kind of like the big one.
Well, that's it. He was like, he means so much to so many people.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, There Is a Light That Never Goes Out is like undoubtedly that song has probably like saved a handful of lives. Mm. Like, that's so much of, like, the stuff of the Smiths means so much, so much. So, yeah. Like, I grew up watching Charmed.
Yeah.
And having How Soon Is Now open Charmed was like, oh, my God, this is cool.
Well, that's the thing. So many people who loved The Cure probably, like, would say, yeah, The Queen Is Dead, one of my favorite albums.
Yeah, totally. Like, and boom. I grew up in that kind of, like scouring Wikipedia and, like, best albums ever lists. And everyone was like, oh, my God, Johnny Marr's the best guitarist. And I still rate Johnny Marr the guitarist because he wrote most of the stuff for the Smiths.
Yeah.
And then Morrissey would show up sometimes.
Yeah.
There's just this thing that happens when you find out the person that you were looking up to or, like, super keen on turns out to be an absolute piece of shit.
Oh, I was a huge Kevin Spacey fan for the longest time. So.
As was I. I have a distinct memory of being quite intoxicated watching House of Cards being like, this is like Shakespearean level. And it's just like, and then I'm like, oh, I just like get sober the next day and go like, oh, no, that was.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
And then the thing that's so upsetting about it is just knowing that people knew about it.
Yeah. Oh, that's exactly.
And they were like cool with it because he was just such a cool artist. And like, yeah. Fuck.
Boo.
I'm just like,
boo.
Just roll them out. Like,
yeah.
Replace. Like, there's enough good people in the world for the shit people who are good at their job to be phased out.
Yeah. When we think about it, there is simply just so many men, period.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just so many. It's like, I live in a world of music, and it's, like, horrifically dominated by men.
Yeah.
Like,
there's just so many.
Especially from, like, the engineering background. Like, my job is as an audio engineer, and then just going around studios where it's like you spend all your time in rooms full of men.
Yeah. It's just guys being dudes.
Just guys being dudes.
What's better than this? What's better than this?
And it's like, and then going from like that in my work environment to then in my personal life, I'm just surrounded by lesbians.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
it's so different.
This is like a weird divide that's happening right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of my personal favorite songs of yours is DFTM, otherwise known as Don't Fucking Touch Me.
Yep.
Which is a song that I think like kind of many people relate to.
Yeah.
In terms of men simply not knowing how to act in public.
Yeah.
So what kind of spurred the idea to write this song?
When we were writing the song, I think we'd come in and we were like, I don't know whether or not it was like a specific moment that Heather kind of experienced at like a show or a gig, but I think in general, like when we first started out, we would just kind of play whatever show we could get on.
Yeah.
So it was like, let's just play as much as we can. Yeah, it'll be great. And then it reached a kind of point where we realized that we were playing with like a lot of like, Heather was like the only non-male person on the lineup.
Yeah.
And there's just an inherent sense of, like the safety isn't there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there was, like, if a weird experience does happen, well, there's, like, kind of, like, as much as I can be there to support Heather in that, like, being another dude in the army of other dudes, like, is, like, it's just not enough. So it's, like, when we wrote that, either, actually, a big thing was, like, Heather at the time was working in a haunted house, hilariously. But, like, in that, there's, like, when someone scares you and it's their job to scare you, sometimes people's fight or flight kicks into gear and any sense of what's appropriate just jumps out the window. And they just had a bunch of really shitty experiences.
Oh, absolutely.
One time they got, like, kicked in the chest by someone. Like, all this sort of stuff. Like, and it was just, like, I think there was just, like, a growing sense of, like, this fucking sucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then when it came, like, we, like, got up to the chorus, and then it was just, like, I think we were working on it, and then we got to the line, and then Heather was, like, is that too, like, too forward, too blunt? And I was, like, no.
That's great.
No, sometimes it's worth being blunt.
Literally put on my giant fucking Audio Technica headphones and, like, walk down the street with that song blaring and I look so angry. And then I've, like, talked to, like, a few other people and they're like, yeah, but I do the exact same thing. It's, like, one of those songs where it's just, like, it's, very relatable, yeah. but then also infuriating, well, but in the best way.
That's the thing. I was like, it's when we put it out. Well, like when we first wrote it, we were like, oh, we're not sure about the song. And then everyone around us, when we started playing the song, they were like, no, that's kind of the song.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, okay. And then when putting it, like, the bummer about it is it shouldn't be the successful song.
Yeah.
Like, that's the, like, if you pull everything aside, it shouldn't be the song we care about. It shouldn't be the song that means stuff to people.
Because
it shouldn't be something that
that's
has
so
to
relatable.
Mean something.
Yeah, absolutely.
It should be like the, oh, that song is too blunt. It is. It's kind of unrelatable in how, like, plain it is. But the fact that it is relatable, like, is the thing that I think makes it, like, I don't want to say, like, a song I wrote is important, but, like... It's something
but it is. I'll say it for you.
Yeah, like
that song you wrote. It's important. It is.
But like the fact that it is important to a lot of people. Like I feel really grateful that I can be part of something that puts that out into the world. But also like deeply frustrated that it is so universally felt.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Yeah, and that song was like the moment where we were like shifting up a gear in terms of like. Figuring out who we were, like, musically as well.
Mm.
So going, like, the production, like, Walk Away was, like, the people I knew in Sydney going, like, oh, yeah, let's do this, like, punk thing. And it's going to be pop because Heather sings on it and that makes it, that takes it in the pop world. And then the last year working with Gab Strum, Japanese Wallpaper, as a producer. So it's, like, mostly done on my end and then we take it to Gab and he wakes up in the morning, he loves pop music. He goes to bed loving pop music. So having someone like that who can balance my noise tendencies and just kind of, like, rein everything in.
Yeah. I mean, he brought out Glow last year. Such a good album.
Yeah, it really stunning. Yeah.
But, Bea, speaking of your tour, you've got that coming up. You've got kind of your supports on the tour, like, a mixture of musicians and drag queens.
Yeah.
You'd be able to tell us a little about them, why you chose them?
Totally. So when we were talking about the things that we wanted to do this year, a big thing that we wanted to get out of was we noticed that a lot of the people that would come to our shows weren't necessarily people that would always go see bands.
Yeah.
A good chunk of our audience is not necessarily like gig rats who always go to gigs. They're just like maybe like more Twitter people, Instagram people who are like, oh, cool, I saw, you know, this band aligns with me, so I'll go see them. And it'll be the band I see this 6 months or 3 months. And we were like, okay, for people like that, how do you make a gig environment interesting? And having three guitar bands in a row, all thinking they're, like, you know, XYZ things.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of gets a bit old.
Fair.
By the time you get to the last band. So, like, the amount of times I've gone to shows where it's like, oh, yeah, keen for the headline actor. I'll get there to see the supports because the support's great. And then I see the supports and they're kind of like the main act.
Yeah, it's like, we chose these bands because they're just like us.
They sound like us, but they maybe haven't had as much time around the block, so their songs aren't quite as, like, together. Or maybe the support act is more together.
That
happens sometimes, like, where the support act is absolutely killing it. And then you get to the headline act, the act that you spent the money to see, and you're kind of done.
It's like, this was great. Bye.
Bye. Like, I've been that person so many times. Like, even seeing my favorite band, the second it goes past half an hour and then an hour, I'm like, I want to tap out.
Yeah.
Like, God. I'm just done.
Oh, I'm very much in the boat of I'm really happy that people are excited about the Lockout Lords going away, but I'm in the small boat of just keep Sydney closed. I want to go to bed.
At a reasonable hour, right? Yeah.
Oh, things are open till 5 now? Well, I'm out by 12.
Yeah. Me too.
And out meaning out cold. Like, I'm asleep.
Yeah. So it's like when we were like booking everything, we were like, how do we make it not just three guitar bands? So in each spot we were able to pick, specifically in like the main cities and stuff, we picked like have the support act be friends.
Yeah.
Like have it friends and then have drag performers around it because it was, I don't know, we've been seeing a lot of like cool drag stuff down in Melbourne, and it was, we've got a lot of friends through like Heather's theatre because they studied theatre at uni, and a lot of their friends are like queer performers who like do drag in different ways and all this sort of stuff. And it was just an opportunity we saw to make it not just the rock show. It's a really interesting way as well to put a stake in the ground as well, to go like, you know, we want to do something different.
Absolutely.
We want to be the band that's kind of not just doing, well, here's what a band does. Well,
this is band stuff.
Well, if you want to be a successful band, here's what you do. And it's like, well, we're not really interested in that. We're kind of interested in being kind of expressing ourselves and figuring out who we are to the best of our ability. And having drag performers on the show is like, I know there's a lot of back and forth in the queer community about drag queens and their place in it. There's a lot of people who have a lot of weird feelings about it, especially because most people's exposure to drag is through RuPaul's Drag Race.
Right, yeah.
A RuPaul known...
Poo-poo guy. Stinky, yeah.
Yeah, so that a lot of people's exposure to it is through that, which kind of sucks. So I'm not saying that we're kind of like going up against RuPaul or trying to change, like
you
do
are.
This big change thing.
But
it's
but
just
you
like,
are.
But like, I don't know, it's just a nice thing that we can do.
Absolutely.
And like bringing like just as much as it's like people who would be like not going to gigs as much and they'd be like, oh wow, a drag queen. Yeah, that's exciting. That's a thing that happens at shows that things. As much as that can happen, the people who are band people as well who would be going to see a million gigs. Have any of them seen a drag queen before in like real life?
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
So that was like a big thing of like this year we want to like change the way, like especially this is like our first time ever doing like ticketed shows.
Yeah, right.
So it's like a good way to go like, here's who we are. We want to do different stuff. So it's like this time we'll have like we're bringing drag queens around as much as we can. Next time maybe we're the only band that has a guitar in it, you know, stuff like that, where we can just be like, let's just do different stuff.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So last but certainly not least,
yes.
Who are some of your favourite queer musicians?
So I'll step in, like, Heather unfortunately can't be here, but I'll...
Shouts out to Heather.
They were aware of the name.
Yeah.
But hadn't really listened to the music of Dorian Lectra.
Yep.
And I show them literally like 5 days ago, like some Dorian Lectra music videos, and they have not stopped talking about those. So it was like the idea of it being like a non-binary performer who is actively fucking with gender in the music videos,
in their music as well.
Yeah.
Like man-to-man.
Man-to-man.
What a track.
The voice pitching.
Yeah.
I think is like so deeply interesting, like the use of like auto-tune and all that sort of stuff to like shift their voice around.
Yeah. In a way that would like represent like, I guess what we consider like a masculine voice and a feminine voice. It's quite amazing.
And being able to use the technology to simultaneously present both stereotypes.
Yeah.
Is amazing. And the idea that a bunch of it's produced by Dylan Brady from 100 Gex.
Yeah.
Heather, I think 100 Gex was like Heather's like a band of last year.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, they were obsessed. So I think just being in like them finding out about Dorian... It was just like, I think it's just like a little bit of a come to Jesus moment of like, oh my God, this is what it is. But then for me, I have been for the longest time since the first record, but Baths.
Yeah.
I'm just obsessed.
Oh,
and
fair.
I'm in like the middle of another Baths phase where I listen to all the records on repeat again. Like I remember my first car that I had the first Baths record and that single Aminals.
It has
all this like cool sampling stuff in it, and I just remember like pumping the crap out of that in my first car that I had. So I have like such a deep memory of that. And then he was in town just recently.
Yeah, that's very true.
And Yeah, I'm obsessed with everything Baths.
Yeah.
I think he's just stunning.
Jono, thank you so, so much for joining us.
No, thank you
the
so
show.
Much for having
it's
us.
It's been really great having you. And that was Jono, one half of Cry Club, joining me on the show to talk about them. They are playing at Oxford Art Factory Gallery Bar tonight. Basically starting once the show finishes. So if you can, go check them out. This has been It's a Gay Area on 2SCR 107.3. My name is Ruby Innes. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And a big thank you to Cry Club for joining us on the show. Good night.